SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201. Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevepick.com. And second of the off days that now make up the Saratoga season. But it's not completely an off day because there's activity later. Another plug for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Later this afternoon and into the evening, 4 to 7 at the Saratoga Winery on Route 29, raising money. And I understand that the dinner portion, the barbecue side of things, has sold out, which is fabulous. So thanks to everybody that made reservations and is going to come by. I'll be there probably the first half of the doings and looking forward to it. And the opportunity for people really everywhere. TRF Inc., TRFINC.org. There's terrific list of auction items and even $5 just to buy a bale of hay, or these days, buy a third of a bale of hay. Anything helps. The largest maintenance of retirees from the racetrack. So a whole bunch of people will be there. Ramon and Sharon Dominguez and me and Pete and Donna Brothers. I saw the list and now it's not in front of me, but should be a fun afternoon. In lieu of not being able to get together in the normal fashion. So 4 to 7, if you're in the area, even if you just drive by and like those coin drops out in the street when you're driving around and there's a fireman with a boot and you throw a dollar in and or the change in your change cup. You can do that as a drive-by. Lots of news. We've got a very busy morning. We've got an eclectic series of visits. We'll do some racing. We'll do some reviewing. We're going to go over the hurdles with Bill Gallo in a little bit. We'll go to Indiana. We've got some Bill Downs stakes tomorrow, the Caesars and the Indiana Grand. Review some of yesterday as well, and plenty more from the weekend. Michael McCarthy looking to nail down a visit with Barkley. And we still have to reach back and get Baffert. One of the things that we did yesterday as the afternoon unfolded, and late in the afternoon, early evening, retweeted Jay Privman's update. And with just that Pegasus to run Saturday at Monmouth and two horses that are, at least that we know of, you know, that are prominent on the list right now of, you know, Derby hopeful and Derby actually already seemingly in the field, Pneumatic. Pneumatic and Joe Bravo riding, and Jesus's team, or Jesus's team, depending on your preference, for Jose D'Angelo. He is sitting at 21st on the working list that I've got. And I'll post this because I think I was rattling cages to get some details and some potential decisions, and Jay had some definitive crossouts coming out of Travers. And, you know, confirmations, Chad Brown and Paul Pompa passing with Country Grammar, and, you know, some others, Chivalry and some of the others that have not, you know, that really didn't come out of the weekend all that, you know, all that successfully. Certainly, the prospects of going up against Tis the Law, Art Collector, and Honor AP, among others, it seems a little daunting. So the ones that are, I'll give you the quick snapshot here. Tis the Law, Authentic, Art Collector, Honor AP, New York Traffic, King Guillermo, Thousand Words. They're numbers 1 through 7 on the point scale. Dr. Post is 8th, and Todd Pletcher telling Churchill, Ben Huffman, and Darren Rogers, they're monitoring and potentially the alternative might be the Pat Day Mile. So Dr. Post seemingly on the fence. He would be number 8. Max Players going 9. Cairo 10. Enforceable 11. Swiss Skydiver has points, has been nominated, but McPeak continues to give every indication to Ben Huffman that they're going Oaks. We're going to talk to Michael McCarthy, and we'll get an update on Rushy, who would be number 12 should he go. Major Fed is going. He's number 13. Storm the Court. And Storm the Court's performance on the turf was very solid. Good second in the La Jolla. And right now, it appears to be a discussion between Peter Ertin and the ownership group about Derby or American Turf. So if he were to run, and I don't have him counted right now on my list, he would be number 14. But right now I've got him as neutral. And off that good effort in the La Jolla, you would think the American Turf is a, you know, real possibility. I guess it could also turn back on the dirt, frankly, in the Pat Day Mile. So they got a lot to think about. But that would be number 14. All of this is going toward the reality that it seems very likely that there's going to be 20, or certainly 19 or 18. Let's continue. Attachment rate is definitely coming. He would be 14 without Storm the Court, 15 with Storm the Court. Sol Volante just worked a mile, and Biancone telling Churchill officials they intend to run. Finnick the Fierce. Sol Volante would be 15 without Storm the Court, 16 with Storm the Court. Finnick the Fierce has three considerations, apparently. The Pat Day Mile, the American Turf, or the Derby. So Finnick the Fierce, who's sitting 16 and potentially 17 if Storm the Court throws down. Pneumatic is sitting at 17 on this list. He's running Saturday as a tightener, 3 weeks out. At the Pegasus, he would be 17 in the Derby. Shared Sense, kind of on the fence. Brad Cox, he could go either way. He'd be 18 or 19 with Storm the Court. 19, Winning Impression. Dallas Stewart and team were late nominees. They're running. They want in. So that's 19 or 20. And Necker Island, another that says they're coming. So that's 20 without Storm the Court and also with Shared Sense. So, you know, depending on Shared Sense, Storm the Court, Dr. Post, Rushy, I mean, there's four horses that could go either way, seemingly. You're already over 20. You're at 20 or 21. Then there's Jesus' Team, There's uncertainty about the status of Kiss Today Goodbye, Rowdy Yates, and then the three horses without points, Cheryl Spite, who would absolutely run, Happy Saver and Money Moves, and of the two, Todd Pletcher, pointless emerging three-year-olds, Money Moves is the one that's apparently more intended. So, granted, there's going to be a hiccup or two. A horse or two is going to wrench an ankle or spike a fever and miss a work and so forth. There will be some of that. But as it sits right here, right now, you've got a full gate pending some decisions. So I wanted to provide that. That's the latest. And there was one horse, actually. There is one horse that I didn't read, but that I did sort of put in, and I put him in italics, and that's Field Pass, who's seemingly much more likely for the American turf. But Mike Maker and company, who knows? The Wyckoffs. Jordan, if you're listening, let me know if there's any intention here to lean. Ken Ramsey, I would imagine, maybe there's some residual influence on Mike Maker from years of putting those kittens' joys into the Derby. So we'll see. We'll see. Field Pass, has gone off in the green direction, but he is right there, and he does have sufficient points. Should they have a notion to jump in that ocean? Your Kentucky Derby field. So there it is. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. There are 17 without any of the iffies. All right. So I will continue to monitor and keep that as current as possible as the decisions come in. A couple of things. Let's get more of the weekend out of the way that I can clear off the desk. Congratulations to Stewie Elliott. Stewart, win number 5,000 at Lone Star, and came on Jeff Bloom's power end. Stewart has piled up a bunch of wins riding for the Asmussen Barn, and he becomes the 36th jock to win 5,000 in North America. Some nice things. We had a wonderful conversation with Stewie Elliott at Santa Anita a few years ago when Carolyn Connolly was handling him. Then he got banged up and was off for a little bit, and resurfaced on this circuit, and he's doing well. And I'm sure when we talk to Tony on Thursday, he can tell you a few more things about riding with Stewie, as he did for years and years in Philadelphia. Elliott, this through Sunday, 32,188 mounts in his career, and 5,000 wins, 4,331 placements, 4,003 show efforts, $106 million in earnings. And he says he's got no indication right now of retiring. I mean, really, why would I quit right now? As long as things are going like this, I feel good. I feel like I can still perform. Business is good. I'll keep going until things change. That's great for Elliott. And of course, winning winning a Derby and a Preakness and going on the run with Smarty Jones. You know, just like we talked with Tony, having journeyman riders, having a big horse that and when you ply the trade in a region, you still invariably every successful rider has got the big horse that gave them the opportunity to come on to the biggest stages and show their talent, and certainly Stewie Elliott fits that bill. Two more wins actually last night at Lone Star, so ratchet him up to 5,002. And Tony, just looking at the statistics for Elliott the last couple of years, 66 wins, 49 wins, 93 wins, already 82 already this year with the crazy schedule. So Tony better lace up the boots, I think, a little bit, because Miss Stewie's going to come calling sometime next fall. Actually, I think Tony may have to reboot to stay ahead of Stewart Elliott. A couple other notes from yesterday after we got off the air. I mean, actually, I think it happened while we were still on the air. In hour three, because I retweeted it. The Jockey Club of Saudi Arabia said yesterday that they're going to distribute the money from the Saudi Cup for the 2nd through 10th place finishers. They're going to continue to investigate before any further decision or first place prize money to maximum security to the Wests, and I don't know what their continuing investigation entails. That's about as much as I've said about the Saudi Cup, frankly. You knew my stand on the whole concept from word go. The other news that came yesterday that people need to know about: Phasig is going to consolidate the fall sales, and this makes sense. It's just trying to limit people's needing to go to various locales, including up here. The Saratoga fall sale, which actually is for those of us up here, it's kind of a treat. It's sort of the last equine activity on the thoroughbred front, pretty much in and around Saratoga, and the bloodstock sale, horses of racing age, racing or broodmare prospects, weanlings and yearlings, unraced 2-year-olds, etc. It's kind of a fun sale, and it originally was scheduled for October 20th, and what Phasig is going to do is put together that sale with the Timonium December mixed and racing age sale. So it makes perfect sense, actually. December 7th and 8th at Timonium. And one of the things that alleviates is concerns about travel restrictions. Don't know necessarily where they would be in October, but, certainly as we talked the other day with Pat McKenna regarding people trying to come here from the 35 areas that are required to quarantine. This way, it takes that out of the equation for people wanting to come to the sale. So, markdown December 7th and 8th. And the only thing, I haven't heard anything yet from University of Arizona regarding symposium. It's hard to believe, I mean, given what's going on with the collegiate schedules and so forth, that there'll be a symposium at least in December. But that would be the one potential conflict that just pops in my head. But anyway, December 7th and 8th for the two prominent East Coast fall sales. All right. And before we go, before we reach for some of the guests, let me get some more from the weekend out of the way. And that includes actually we'll count yesterday even as part of the weekend. As we were leaving yesterday at noon, I mentioned the Tom Ridge at Presque Isle and was watching the action, and I tried to get Alfie Solomons around, and news to me did not run well at 3-1 as the third choice, but actually the favorite ended up being Guildsman. Brendan Walsh sending out the Wooten Bassett gelding for Qatar Racing, and Pablo Morales. This is a nice horse. Had a placement turf sprinting, and it was competitive at Belmont in June in the Circat against Jack and Noah and Turned Aside, etc., and wins this and won it easily. Guildsman, you had a 28-1 shot. Jamie Ness sent one out for Running More, So Street. And that boosted the exotics. Then Alfie Solomons, who set the pace under Mario Pino, but got overhauled and settled for a placement for Wesley Ward. Yeah. Sunday, I want to get this in too. I mentioned the 13,000 at Saratoga for the Empire Six. The Rainbow Six at Gulfstream was also being paid out, and Sunday was a big handle day, obviously, between the Empire Six payout and the one at Gulfstream. You had over $10 million in handle on the two force outs, but at Gulfstream, very, very. And I really didn't look at the sequence because we were focused, obviously, on New York and on Ellis. But if you haven't had a chance to go back through it, you did not have a favorite. You barely had a second choice win. And the fields were good-sized fields. You had a 10-20 winner, Safi Joseph, for Bob Edwards. Pseudonym was the third choice, paid 10-20. Then you had a second choice that paid 8-40, Flawless Moon, 8-40. Hector Berrios aboard for Sandra Mateer, for Bruno Chicken Dance, Flawless Moon, and that was a thriller between the favorite and the second choice. So that was a fairly reasonable big field, though. Field of 12 to consider. Then you had the fourth choice, Airball, 17-20. And Airball under Victor LeBron for Carlos David. That was the halfway point. So you'd had 10-20, 8-40, 17-20. A third choice, a second choice, and a fourth choice. Then the second choice for Barry Rose with Manny Vasquez, Worth Avenue, 10-80. So now you got to get through the, it's already, you haven't seen a favorite yet. So they're dropping like flies. Gets you to the late double, and in the stake, the day at the spa, Leo Gabriel Edgar Prado, and Sensible Myth, $20 winner as the fifth choice in a, you know, fairly, you know, 8-horse field, and beat the favorite. So the parade kept going. And that gets us to the nightcap. And Antonio Seno with Edgar Zayas, Passion Plus, pays $15 despite having been the third choice on the morning line. So a fifth choice and a fourth choice end the sequence, $61,593. And whenever all the favorites get beat, every time the favorites fall by the wayside, the multis will grow exponentially. So I wanted to make sure to get that in before we got too far afield. Del Mar 2, and I don't know if we're going to get a Del Mar. We're going to have Mike McCarthy. Michael will talk about the La Jolla win. But, and I think I mentioned in passing, how about My Girl Red? This was on Friday. The Sorrento goes off favored a little under a dollar. And for the Breams, very appropriate. Texas Red. And gets the first winner. And this filly that they bred, Eric Bream bred My Girl Red. Second, bad first stake winner. And out of the Fusichipeg mare, Murakami. And, of course, Keith DeSormo. Very appropriate, right? That was on Friday. And then back for the best pal on Saturday, Weston. And you heard, who was it yesterday that mentioned Hit It A Bomb? And Ryan Hansen. Should reach out for Ryan. This is a nice win. Drayden Van Dyke on the Hit It A Bomb gelding. And Ryan co-owns this with Chris Drakos out of a Dixie Union mare. Weston, a disappointment here was Roderick, who bypassed the Saratoga Special to go out west and, barely attended the pace before just sort of backing up. It was 1-2 off that Belmont smasher debut. But Weston, who broke the maiden first start at Santa Anita, going 4.5, stretches out to 6 successfully. DVD aboard. This was a $7,000 yearling. How about that? And now a grade 2 winner, Weston. And 61 buyer. My Girl Red, 65. We talked about Bodhisitta with Richard Baltus yesterday. I forgot to ask him. He mentioned Lady Prancelot, who kind of ran a meek fourth in there. And we really liked her last year, Lady Prancelot. He referenced her, but he didn't really say a lot more. The maiden race that Jay Privman talked about, we should mention. How about Louis Mendez, who, of course, Rick Hammerly, before the start of the two-year-old season, you can't say you weren't warned. Hammer reminded everybody to watch out for Mendez and his ability with the babies and the upset here of Spielberg, who was 4-5 for Baffert. And SF Racing, Starlight, Sol Cumin's Matticat, Golconda, Sienna Farm. You can't even fit that ownership group on the ownership line. The hot working Union Rags Firster, that was $1 million. He ran okay. But Dr. Scheibel, the violence colt, and this one for co-breeders, William Branch and Arnold Hill. Homebred for them, and interestingly, was making a third start and had been okay hitting a couple of boards at Santa Anita and at Los Al. In fact, lost to Weston in their respective debuts. So another stake winner, or maiden winner in this case, for Violence and 86 buyer for Dr. Scheibel. So that was quite notable from the weekend. And finally, before we reach for Bill Gallo, in case, I guess you could call Bill, because I can go through this as you reach out for him. The Best of Ohio that I referenced yesterday, too, including the DQ, the craziest, I don't even know what to say. If you haven't seen the ninth race from Thistledown on Saturday, pull it up. Pull it up. It's the most quizzical takedown you'll ever see. Moonlit Mission. They're on the turn, and she's motoring along, and about four horses kind of come together like an accordion, and you know, there's some jostling, but it sure looks like Moonlit Mission is holding the line, is holding the path. Goes on and wins by 8 lengths, and gets, you know, there's objections from a couple of the horses that were involved in the, you know, quote unquote incident. I don't get it. I watched it. I don't know. Kept watching it, and it they end up putting Moonlit Mission seventh in here, and this was not one of those. This was not one of those DQs that, you know, set the internet aflame. But take a look, if you get a chance, and the replay should be readily available, even at DRF on the stakes page. You can link right to it. Blood Horse and your ADW replay links. Very, very, to me, a very strange takedown. The rest of the stakes action, the Kindergarten, Esplanade, Tim Ham. Tim, we talked to a couple of weeks ago. Tim Ham with a Daredevil filly. Nothing brings a stallion career up to the surface like being exported. And Daredevil's got about half a dozen stake winners since he got exported. Esplanade under John McKee. I mentioned John McKee and the nice day he had. Ham and the partners, Windstar and company, they actually went back to back because Alexandria won the Miss Ohio off by herself. She's a Constitution filly that Tim bred with Windstar. Then Cake Pop, who's one of the great names, Ron Paolucci, our man, Luch, attaboy. Gary Johnson trains this one, and Jose Bracho aboard. And this was pretty exciting. Went off just favored. Cake Pop beat the very venerable Altissimo, who God knows how many races he's won. Then came the crazy disqualification that elevated Val Schanfeld with the Wilburn mare Circus Rings. 6-1. And then finally, more Luch, this time with Jeff Radosovic. Mo don't know, and did not go favored. Forewarned, who we told you had shown up from Philadelphia with Arias St. Louis, ended up going off favored 3-5, 4-5. 70 cents on the dollar. But Mo don't know, who has been really good for an extended period now for Luch. 7 years old now. Very nice. Originally bred by Beachwood Racing. So there you go. That was your Best of Ohio from Thistledown. Bill Gallo, standing by from National Steeplechase. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I can't, you know, gotta get the best of Ohio in. $500,000 for the Buckeye Breads, and we're going to talk about the week since you didn't get to run last week. We got two races here at Saratoga tomorrow and Thursday, but also, of course, Colonial again yesterday, and three more races in Virginia, and a couple more maidens, a couple more graduations, Bill, to send up here.
Oh, we had a couple of really good performances last night at Colonial. Both Shepherd horses, French Light, won the first division of the maiden and was very, very impressive. Threw up late in the race and won by 5, could have won by 15. Kind of looked like Tis the Law through the lane. And then the second, in the second division, he showcased a 4-year-old that they really liked, Baltimore Bucko, the horse's name. He won just as easily, about 5 again. Another late run. But I'm hoping that we can get both of those horses back up to Saratoga on the 26th. That would be great. Certainly we'll get one of the two, if not both, which would be really, really good.
And well, the first one, Bill, they're both lightly raced domestically in terms of, afternoon action and steeplechase action. And Shepherd has won 3 of the 6 races so far at Colonial. The first one was French Light, and this for Mr. Naylor, and then Baltimore Bucko for Buttonwood.
Yeah, they both look really, really good. Very promising futures. French Light had actually run, in June. He ran at both of our Virginia meets, and he would have won right out of the box at Middleburg. As they turned for home, it was a kind of a sharp hairpin turn to the left, and the barn and paddock are off to the right. And he lost his attention for a moment and almost pulled himself up. That's the only thing that cost him the win there. And then he came back a couple of weeks later, and he got beat. Just got beat a half. Similarly, lost his focus in the lane. He certainly didn't lose any focus at Colonial though, and he promises to be a really good. The stable has been very, very high on both of those horses. Shepherd's assistant, Carrie Breon, is tending to things right now, and she said they're the best two horses in her barn right now. That's quite a statement for a Shepherd barn.
Well, and it also bodes well, considering, last week, going back to a silent prayer that we talked about, a silent player we talked about, the Irish import, that broke the maiden as well. So it kind of feels like Shepherd, kind of a reborn set of horses for Jonathan.
Yeah, he's having a really good year. He doesn't have the horses on the top end right now. He's a little bit weak on the top end. They were trying to get Winston C. Winston C. has been in training, and he's been trying to get back to Saratoga for the Turf Riders. And he just is a little short. They didn't nominate him, so he's not going to make the Turf Riders, unfortunately. The Turf Riders is going to be our last stakes race of the year, unfortunately. But that's just life in the COVID world. We are going to have a trimmed-down version of our fall schedule. I was hoping to see Winston C. at least run at Saratoga. We just missed. He won the 2 stakes there last year. He is certainly the most established and best horse in Shepherd's Farm, but he's got a lot of nice young horses, like you say, a silent player, French Light, Baltimore Bucko. So the future is bright in that Shepherd's stable.
Nice. I'm pleased for Jonathan to get a new supply. Those two maiden races gave way to a handicap as well, and in this case, Jeremy Gillum. And give us a little bit of background. El Mutahid, who is going to be familiar to people as a former Shadwell runner, wins, and again, this was by open lengths.
Yeah, it's one of these little ratings races. It's more of like our claiming division without the claiming price. And they do it in Europe. We've had great success over the last 4 or 5 years with it. We rate horses. I've got a committee that works with me on rating horses. They actually rate them. I just review the ratings, and we discuss it. And then every week we publish a new ratings. And this is the low end of the ratings horses, the 110 and down. They go all the way up to 159. The two top horses in the country are Moscato and Optimus Prime. They're rated at 159, just to give you an idea. El Mutahid, he was like 105. So it's the lower end of our horses, but a wonderful performance, a 10-year-old by Street City. And as you said, a Shadwell-bred horse, you know, obviously had a lot of promise years ago. On the flat, never really developed, had won a couple of races. I think he had won one prior to breaking his maiden over jumps. And he did that in a maiden claimer at Great Meadow in June. And so he won it very easily, maiden claiming 15, and then performed just as nicely last night at Colonial. Another late kick, came off the pace. Obviously, the flat form kicked in for him, and he won nicely as well. He drew off similarly by about 5, but nice opportunity. Diana Gillum is the owner, is the daughter of Jeremy Gillum, the trainer. Bernie Dalton is was the pilot, the veteran Bernie Dalton, who rides a lot at Saratoga. So it was a nice evening of races, actually.
You know, and you mentioned that Bernie Dalton wins that third race. We should mention Jerry Galligan aboard for both of the winners for Shepherd, and Jerry Galligan's having an amazing season.
Yeah, he really is. You know, once again, he rides primarily for Shepherd, but he's been doing very well. And I will tell you, you know, he positioned both horses in the both maiden races very well, but. He was late. He was just a passenger, basically steering.
Yeah, and he also, he won that Zoom Zoom Zoe going back to the races at Middleburg. He won for Arch Kingsley on Hot Springs as well. He's got 7 wins. He's got 7 wins already.
Seven wins in this abbreviated season.
Yeah.
Quite an accomplishment. Yeah, he's doing very, very well. He and Michael Mitchell, who rides predominantly for Fisher. But the boys are coming back for this week. Everybody's looking forward to Wednesday and Thursday. We're really excited about it. We've got two really, really good races this week.
Well, and speaking
of course, the Thursday race was the postponed race from last Wednesday when we got washed out.
Exactly.
Literally, the entire field is back in.
I think the entire field plus one.
Actually, the entire field plus one. You're right. The best story of the meet may be Arch Kingsley. We only have 9 riders, and he had named Kieran Norris to ride his horse Show Court, and Kieran Norris could not make the trip. for some reason, he can't be in Saratoga on Thursday, and he has recruited Danielle Hodgson. It was a top rider at Shepherd Stable some years ago. She hasn't ridden before 5 years. She's a wonderful rider. She's coming out of retirement to ride this horse for Arch Kingsley. So it'd be interesting. But Danielle Hodgson on Show Court. Show Court is, his recent form hasn't been great, but he's a classy old horse, 11-year-old. And he won the Smithwick up here in 218 a couple of years ago. So if he returns to his old form and Danielle Hodgson returns to her old form, it might be a nice combination.
How about that? I love it. And when you started to say that, I went to go look. I thought maybe Arch was gonna take the call himself, but no. Since we went toward the Thursday race, let's flesh that out, and then we'll talk about the group tomorrow. So $50,000 handicap, and 2 miles and a 16th. There is a morning line out already, and Iranistan. Speaking of Jonathan and Darren Nagel, and new member for Jack Fisher, look to be the faves. and Elucidation, Cyril Murphy for Mr. Naylor.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. That's a valid morning line. This is one. It's an overnight handicap, so I assign the weights. And obviously Cracker Factory's out of the Fisher Barn. He's got his American form isn't great. Obviously, he's only run twice here, but his English form was actually very, very good. They brought him over with high promise. Fisher adds the blinkers here. Anything out of his barn right now is super, super hot. And he's swept the three races up here so far. And he's got another nice combination between Cracker Factory and New Member. New Member's pulled up in his last at Middleburg. He ran into Guasme. But if you just go back to last summer here, he was a very nice second to Optimus Prime. So, obviously of the two, if you had to favor one, you'd probably favor New Member over Cracker Factory. But the Shepherd horse, I ran his stand, once again, his recent form hasn't been good. He had a lot of promise back in 2018. He put together a string of wins. He's been off his form. The barn likes him, though. They said he's been training extremely well. And they're looking forward to this spot. He was looking for a spot just underneath the grade one stakes level, and this is the perfect spot for him. So morning line might be right on the mark between Iranistan and New Member. I wouldn't disagree with either one of those horses.
On Cracker Factory for a second, Bill, tell me about Haglig Haven on the ownership line that I don't recall seeing.
Yeah, they own flat horses. I think internationally they own flat horses. Big stable, and I think it's the only horse Fisher has for them. But I know they purchased this horse with high expectations. He's only five, well bred, obviously. He's probably got some. His former form is excellent. I think he's won all four of his wins were over jumps. So he clearly is a quality jumper. He just is his recent last three or four races hasn't been great. But once again, you get on Fisher's farm, and he didn't have him too long. I don't think when he ran him at Belmont last fall, and then he ran him back at Far Hills. He's had a whole season of training. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a big effort in this horse.
Well, just looking elsewhere, this is on Thursday. As a price prospect, here is Jerry Galligan, Mutasawi for Neil Morris, and you go back to that training race at Suffolk a couple of years ago. This horse has flat track speed and actually ran very well in the Kaiser in 2018. Was gone since November of 2018 and reappeared, was able to at least negotiate the course at Great Meadow, and I'm wondering at 15-1, Bill, if there isn't a little interest in Mutasawi.
Yeah, he's a 10-year-old by Tappet. He clearly has flat speed. He's got what it takes at Saratoga. I think he's not won nine races, maybe two over fences. So he's got seven flat wins under his belt. He's a veteran. He's speedy. He could be tough. I wouldn't at a price. I would not be surprised. I would not be a little bit surprised. He hasn't won since I think it's a couple of years since he's won. But once again, running in much tougher company. This is a second tier. Not quite a stakes race. It's a really nice level of horse. I was really happy to write this race and call it up as an overnight handicap. So I think it's a really nice matchup of horses for us. It should be an exciting race.
Well, and Galligan gets on for the first time, and of course I do like that in preparation for that return off the long layoff. He did have you don't see too often a mile and a half workout, and there it is.
Just to explain that, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's more than actually a mile and a half.
It's a training race.
That's, Yeah, that's what we call a training race, and we do it, and they go in as works. But it's a very valuable tool. He ran actually very well on June 13th. He was 4th-12 there. But he that's a mile and a half. It's actually a race. Much better than the work, obviously. So I would pay some attention to that, too, because he certainly he got a nice little base in the horse, and he was obviously setting up for the race last Wednesday, now to be run this Thursday. Comes
speaking
from Neil Morris, too. Neil Morris does a wonderful job out of Virginia. Just really, really good trainer.
And Neil's one, he's it's a few years now, Bill, right? Did he win either a Smithwick or a Turf Cup?
No, he has not.
No?
Won.
There was something. I remember talking about him.
Okay. Yeah. He's won an overnight race this year, but not a grade one.
Not a stake.
Yep.
Lizzie Voss has got No Wonder back, the Rock of Gibraltar 9-year-old, and wasn't great here last year, but actually, if you go back to the Walsh, ran well in 2018, and right. Also second off the layoff.
Yep, and he's, once again, his recent form isn't great, and there's a bunch of them in here. The recent form isn't great. Sometimes that's a little bit misleading. Sometimes you have to go a little deeper in the jumper's form. Our horses don't run that regularly. We have a lot of layoffs. They're training on the farm, making prep horses beautifully, get a nice foundation into them. Typically, they'll run them, want to get a nice flat race into them somewhere, either training flat or some sort of a work at a race at the flat track itself. So our guys know how to train, I can tell you that. They do two things very well. They train very nicely. There's a small group of steeplechase trainers, and they take incredible care of their horses.
Let's look at tomorrow's race, and the opener is a $48,000 non-winners of two lifetime, 2 miles and a 16th, and we mentioned Galligan, Shepherd, and Zoom Zoom Zoe off the maiden breaker back in June. And in here at 4-1, there's also... there's also a 9-5 on Markham coming off first the seasonal debut here. Brian Bakes Cookies, a very popular thoroughbred during his career, and just by name alone, Fearsome, intriguing as well, making a second. And we saw him in the second start of the year. We saw him in the Louisville for Cyril Murphy and Mr. Naylor, and had run very well to end the season at Woodbine in that that closing weekend standard of theirs, the valedictory, the mile and three quarters on the main main track, and got beat by the Yule Wellings Pumpkin Rumble. 5-1 on Fearsome looks pretty attractive.
Yeah, this is a fascinating race, Steve. I mean, really, it's got a little bit of everything. You mentioned the filly. Zoom Zoom Zoe is a 4-year-old filly running against the boys. But once again, the Shepherd Barn, particularly Kerry Breon, the assistant, is very high on this filly. She's so high that she's, going to challenge the boys here, which is a big jump up, and particularly a 4-year-old over one race. That was a maiden filly race that she won at Middleburg. So this is a big leap of faith. She gets a huge break in the weights. We get our fillies get 10 pounds at this time of year from males. Hot jockey, hot barn, a girl against the boys. You never know. And then there's a couple of others. And Brian Bakes Cookies is clearly the logical horse. He got beat a neck by Galway Kid, Shepherds at Middleburg, and they're sky high on Galway Kid. He's going to run in a novice race at Saratoga next week. So Brian's Bakes Cookies is the logical choice from the Fisher Barn, but you could make other cases for sure. Markham is part of the A entry. Nagel's on both, so one of the horses is going to scratch as part of an entry. It's meant to be Global Freedom, so the runner is hopefully Markham. I believe both horses are shipping just in case something should happen to Markham. Markham, if you go back to May of 19, he beat Snap Decision in that race. That was a maiden race at Iroquois, and he beat Snap Decision, who's rattled off 6 races in a row here. for Fisher. So that, and he beat him handily. Davy Russell had come over. The horse had shipped over from the Gordon Elliott barn. Davy Russell came over and rode him. They were sky high on this horse. And then he, when he ran here in July, there was a little bit of some bumping and jostling going on at one of the jumps, and this horse got jumped on in that allowance race at Saratoga, and he was injured there. And they patched him up, and they ran him at Bar Hills, and he was off his form. They gave him some time, so he's back. This is his first race back. But he's a really, really nice horse. American bred, strangely enough, but Gordon Elliott was strangely bred Birdstone. But he's a nice horse. Vaughn loves him. And if he goes back, if he reverts back to his form, his original form in May of 19 at Percy Warner when he got the best of Snap Decision, he could be a force in this race. But there are several. Fearsome, you can't overlook. We talk about the flat form late in the race and being able to run. He's the runner of them all. He is clearly the fastest rider horse. You may remember him from Far Hills last year. He won that. We had a $50,000 in New Jersey Hunt Cup. It's a mile and a half turf race at Far Hills Championship Day. That was a little stake for us. And he won that easily with a late kick. And he was a artificial surface specialist. He's won a bunch of races. But this is the spot for him. He's a non-winners of two over jumps. This is his condition. And this is the type of race course that he can jump and run. And I'm sure Cyril Murphy's, he's kind of a quiet guy, Cyril Murphy. He doesn't tout his horses very much, but I'm sure he's sitting on a confident opinion right now. It's just a fascinating race, really.
Nice group. And it's nice that you've got, I suppose, other than Markham making the seasonal debut, everybody else has run on the year. Everybody else has had a start. So there's some form, and you don't have to speculate on that front. And looking forward 2 days in a row. And are we free and clear, right, on the weather and condition? We should be okay.
I think so. Yeah, we should. Yeah. We should be fine. Yeah, that was a what a weather event that was last week. You know, obviously.
Sure.
And Martin Panza called me early on it, and which was great of him. He said, "Let's cancel it now." It was on a Monday afternoon, so our guys didn't have to ship up on Tuesday, which is when they normally would come. So I appreciate him doing that and giving us opportunity to reschedule it. So that's how that went down. But it worked in our favor. Let's hope the weather holds up, which I think it will. We'll get these two races under our belt, and then we can look forward to next week, which is the novice stakes comes back along with the New York Turf Riders. So we're excited about that. And that's going to be, as I said earlier, that's going to be our last stakes race of the season, unfortunately for us. But that's just the way it goes. We're going to have a very pared-down fall season, a maiden claiming, ratings, low ratings races, and things like that. But that's the plan for the fall at the moment.
Bill Gallo, everybody, Jumping with NSA on Twitter, nationalsteeplechase.com for everything, and Colonial on Mondays, and Saratoga Wednesday, Thursday. So four more tomorrow and Thursday, and then next week. Bill, thanks so much, and we'll see you out there.
Thank you. See you at the track. Bye.
Bill Gallo, NSA, National Steeplechase. And if you want to follow, Jumping with NSA. And there's actually two accounts. There's also Go Jump Racing as well for the chasers. We're going to chase down Andy Serling. Going to join us next. We got Bill Downs coming yet, and Michael McCarthy and Tim Layden. Did I tell you? Did I even mention? How could I not be heralding a Tim Layden visit? Tim's going to join us, hour three as well. Back after this, hour two at the races.
You're in the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ah, Saratoga. It's history. It's tradition. It's world-class racing. It's jump racing. Yes, steeplechase racing has played a role in Saratoga's rich history and tradition since 1864. And today, it's a part of what makes Saratoga so special. Watch every Wednesday of the meet and two special Thursdays featuring the Grade 1 AP Smithick on July 23rd and the Grade 1 New York Turf Riders Cup on August 20th. Savor the thrill of horses flying over fences. Steeplechase racing, it's a Saratoga tradition.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Pletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.